My remarks are going to focus on the relationship between trust, trustworthiness, and research integrity. It's a really complex area, so there's lots that I'm going to skirt over and will miss out. But hopefully the things that I'm going to say will help set the scene for some great further presentations and then for some really interesting discussion. So what do we mean by trust? Well, trust means different things in different contexts, and myriad scholars and disciplines have looked in detail about what trust and trustworthiness is. Trust generally across those fields and disciplines is seen as an attitude towards and a belief about individuals, groups, organisations or institutions. Often fields will divide trust into thinking about interpersonal trust, trust between individuals on a one-to-one basis, or trust between an individual and an institution, and then trust between or about groups, institutions, areas and fields. And that's where science comes in. So if we think about science as a field, we're thinking about trust at a large scale level. Generally speaking, trust takes place in anticipation that expectations will be met. And when an individual or a group or an area is worthy of trust, then we say that it is trustworthy. So trust is earned. But trust of individuals is different from trust of institutions and groups. So if I think, as I often do, about my journey to work and think about the train journey that I did to get here, I trust the driver. I trust the driver as an individual to get me here safely. I trust that the driver has been trained, is skilled, and is highly motivated to drive my train to London, where I've come today. But previous experience on my train line indicates to me that I might do well to plan ahead, and I might do well to come on an earlier train than the timetable might suggest. Anyone else got the train here today? Yeah, but anyone else get an earlier train? Fantastic, great. And what this means is that I'm not expecting that the train service will always run to its timetable. And I've changed my behaviour accordingly based on my expectations or my absence of expectations. But nonetheless, I still believe that everybody working in the train company is highly motivated to run the trains on time. I understand that they're highly motivated to work with health and safety at the forefront of their thinking, and they're highly motivated to get me here to London on time. So I believe that there's a difference between thinking about the individuals that we place trust in and thinking about the organisations, the institutions and the groups that they work in. And it might be that on my train journey today, it was signalling trouble or other things in the system and infrastructure that maybe created the barrier to me getting here on time. So the difference between individuals and institutions and how trustworthy we find them to be plays out in the evidence that we have available to us about trust in science and scientists. And as you would expect in the world of research, there's myriad evidence, there's surveys, there's questionnaires, there's qualitative research all conducted to understand what members of the public and other scientists think about science. And in the UK, that evidence indicates to us quite clearly that trust in science and scientists is stable. Sorry, I've just opened Microsoft Word. Oh, can you see email on screen? No, okay, good. Okay, I can see somebody's email on screen. Okay, fantastic. And what we're seeing in the evidence so far is that trust in science and scientists is quite stable. One of the most recent pieces of evidence available to us was an Ipsos survey. It's called the Veracity Index. It was carried out just in November 2023. And that shows to us quite clearly that scientists, professors, and engineers are among the most trusted professions in the UK today. And trust in scientists has remained stable over a number of years, and equally, trust in science has remained relatively stable over a number of years. There's some noise in those charts that indicate where we're at with levels of trust, but relatively stable and relatively high. But there's an interest in some of the research in characterising who trusts science and scientists most and who trusts science and scientists least. And the focus of the research that's been done often thinks about the characteristics of the individuals who are filling in the surveys. So we know, for instance, on the Ipsos survey that was carried out last year, that women are, the higher proportions of women trust scientists than men. Equally, we know that higher proportions of people with more years of experience in education trust science more than those with fewer years of experience in education. So there's quite a lot of detail in the science that we know about science. There's a lot of detail that we need to get under the surface of. But the information we have also tells us quite a lot about people's views of science. But we need to know more about what we do within science to support its trustworthiness. So if I loop back to the principles of research integrity, and I think a little bit about what it means to deliver science and research with integrity and what that means in support of trustworthiness, I can immediately click through the five principles and think about what we might do as scientists that can support trustworthiness in the science that we do. So we know that being honest helps to support trust in science. We know that being honest not only about the findings that we have found, have delivered, but also if we're honest about the limits of our knowledge and the boundaries of our knowledge and honest when things change, that supports trust in research and in science. Equally, we know that if we're rigorous in the science that we do and we make that rigor really transparent and clear, that also supports trust in science from people outside of science as members of the public, but also from people working within the science ecosystem. We know that openness and transparency in the work that we do, including transparency about what can't be open, really helps to support a sense that science is doing the best job that it can. And equally, delivering care and respect throughout our entire research ecosystem and making lines of accountability visible and clear helps to support trust in science. But integrity is good for science in and of itself. It's not fair to suggest that integrity is a lever or a driver of trust in science. That's not what research integrity is for. Research integrity is there to make science as good as it possibly can. And it's really important we don't see integrity through a lens of instrumentality. I'll leave it there for now. There's lots more detail about trust that I could talk about. Thank you very much.